All right, boom, welcome back to another episode of Cryptocurrency Chat. I am your host, Blockchain John, for episode 555. It has been a busy week in my day job. It's been insane. We're all exhausted. I'm exhausted. But you can't quit, man. You got to keep going. I love bringing up the crypto news. And so even though I am burnt out this week, I'm bringing it to you guys. I'm a few days late. It's October 5th, 2023. But I'm going to bring it back to you guys. So let's actually recap on what's been going on. So there's a few articles I'm going to read and a few honorable mentions. All right. So on screen I have here is This Week in Crypto Twitter, Binance CZ and the SEC's Gary Gensler face stiff criticism. All right. The second one's going to be Sam Bankman-Fried trial. All the names you need to know. All right. If you're following that, obviously, it's good to know. All right. Third one is going to be Three Arrows Capital co-founder Suzu arrested in Singapore. And the last one is Terra's Do Kwon admits to faking trading volume in leaked chat court documents. And the two honorable mentions is stablecoin legislation looms despite threat of government shutdown. And the last one is, in emerging economies like Chile, WorldCoin is seeing strong success. All right, before we do that, let's head on over to our coin tree, because I do like those comments, subscriptions, you know, let's see, follows, likes, and pretty much everything else that you guys do, all right? But if you guys want to take it to the next step and want to donate some crypto our way to C3 Media and help improve this podcast, you guys can donate here through our coin tree. We have Bitcoin, Ethereum, Dogecoin, Litecoin, Tron, Monero, and a bunch of other coins there. If there's one that's not listed, let us know and we will put it on the list. Or if you want to donate some Bitcoin Lightning, here is the address right here. And if you want to follow us on Nostr, you can follow us here. Of course, this podcast is distributed across pretty much every single podcast platform you can think of, but the one I always highly recommend is Fountain.fm. Why? Because you can earn Satoshis for listening to the podcast. So yes, you're listening to the podcast and passively earning Bitcoin on the back end. And in turn, if you want to donate some of that coins over our way through Bitcoin Lightning, boom, there it is. All right. You can watch us on Odyssey, which is a decentralized version of YouTube. Donate via PayPal, Patreon, Buy Me a Coffee. And there's a bunch of links to a lot of the other podcast platforms. You can watch us the video on YouTube or the live stream right now on Twitch. Follow me on Discord because I am there pretty much every single day. All right, with that said, let's head on over to the markets. Okay, this one is provided by CoinGecko.com. And before we get over to the markets, I'm going to show you guys here. This is my account. These are my candies. And the candies are pretty much tokens within CoinGecko that you can earn daily. And then pretty much buy rewards, I guess, collect rewards. And head over to the reward shop after you collect your coins. And then check what rewards are available. From time to time, they do post some NFTs on there that you can redeem. And yes, they are real NFTs that you can send over to your own wallet. And here's some discounts on these services. All right, cool. Let's head on over to the markets now. There we go. All right, so the market currently is at $1,124,000,000,000, up by 0.2%. And Bitcoin dominance is at 47.9%, while Ethereum is at 17.5%. And the gas is currently at 8 Gwei. Okay, our top 10 is, of course, Bitcoin at number 1 at $27,607 with a 4.4% gain in the past 7 days and a market cap of $538 billion. Number 2, we have Ethereum at $1,635 with a 1.1% gain in the past 7 days with a market cap of $196 billion. And number 3, we have Tether currently at $1 with a 0.1% gain in the past 7 days at a market cap of $83 billion. Number 4, we have BNB at $212 and a 0.2% loss in the past 7 days and a market cap of $32 billion. Number five, we have XRP at 52 cents and a 5.4% gain in the past 7 days and a market cap of $27 billion. Number six, we have USDC, another stablecoin there at $1, with a no gain, no loss in the past 7 days, and a market cap of $25 billion. Number seven, we have Lido staked Ether at $1,635 and a 1.1% gain in the past 7 days, and a market cap of $14 billion. Number eight, we have Solana. Wow, okay, Solana at $22, pretty much $23, with a whopping 19.6% gain in the past 7 days, and a market cap of $9 billion. Number nine, we have Cardano at 25 cents with a 5% gain in the past 7 days, and a market cap of $9 billion. And our last coin for the top 10, we have Dogecoin at 6 cents with a 0.4% gain in the past 7 days and a market cap of $8 billion. All right, Cryptonauts. Actually, I'm really surprised that Solana jumped up. So there must have been something here that happened that I totally missed. So I need to follow up and see what happened with Solana. Like I said, I've been pretty busy with my day job that I have not been keeping up with crypto news, unfortunately, which does bum me up because I love doing this stuff. I'll follow up on that and see what's going on. Okay, so that there, Cryptonauts, is our top 10 coins of the day. Now, let's head on over to the first article. This one's written by Tim Haki, provided by Decrypt.co. This week on Crypto Twitter, Binance's CZ and the SEC's Gary Gensler's face stiff criticism. Once again, U.S. regulators offered very little to the international crypto community to chew on this week. VanEck SEC-approved Ethereum futures ETF was confirmed on Thursday, however, adding modest gains to the bags of Ethereum holders. Beyond that, lawmakers in Washington still appear to be dragging their feet compared to their European counterparts, distracted as they were with a very close call with a government shutdown. The denizens of crypto Twitter were anything but sedentary, however. This week began with news of a $200 million exploit on Mixin Network, a decentralized exchange slash wallet project that enables cross-chain cryptocurrency transfers. The weird part? Look how high that bounty offer is. And this is a tweet from PeckShield. It says, from Mixin kernel to the Mixin Network exploiter, you can keep $20 million of the asset as a bug bounty reward for the bug. Okay. In similar news, the Seychelles. Hold on, did I miss something? No. Okay, 10%. Okay. Sure. Whatever. It is what it is. Okay, in similar news, the Seychelles-based exchange HTX, formerly Huobi, was also exploited. Tron CEO and HTX advisor Justin Sun also offered a hacker a high bounty. He even offered them a job. And there's that tweet we read previously. All right, Alexander Agreve, a government affairs lead at tech investment firm Paradigm, tweeted about the dangers of viewing computing power as a national resource. While this has not happened in the U.S. so far, Greaves' reflections were sparked by a Semaphore article that implied it could be a potential avenue for lawmakers to exploit. And there's a tweet from Alexander saying, currently, the White House views tech jobs / dev talent and energy as scarce national resources and therefore zero-sum, particularly W/R/T, crypto, mining Bitcoin, robbing families of power, working in crypto, your dev talent is being taken away from real applications. On Tuesday, popular crypto sleuth Zach XBT couldn't resist doxing Ben Armstrong, formerly known as crypto influencer BitBoy, after the latter tweeted that he was in a special location. Turns out, Armstrong was arrested in the middle of his live stream to 2,500 people. The charge, loitering at a former business partner's house. And there's a tweet from, let's see. First, it starts off with Ben Armstrong. I'll be going live soon from a very special location on YouTube, so get ready. This is going to be good. Then Zach XBD responds, special location in jail. Ouch, Zach, man. Crypto analyst Adam Cochran believes Tron CEO Justin Sun is in tougher financial straits than he lets on. While this is only speculation, Cochran's warning recalls last year when ostensibility solvent crypto companies fell one after the other. And here's a tweet from Adam. So Justin is taking the USDT from users' Binance's on Huobi, making it into STUST using the underlying USDT to prop up Just Lend and for buying back TUSD on Binance, then allowing TUSD deposit into STUSDT to mint fake assets into their against unknown equity. Oof. Based on these values plus STUSDT and Just Lend, I'd guess Justin has a debt of around $2.4 billion in user assets owed across Huobi and Tron ecosystems, all without users being any the wiser. Not sure why anyone would expect them expect different from HTX. Yeah. Yeah, it's starting to get a little suspicious. Bloomberg ETF analyst James Seifert saw the SEC engage in yet more delaying tactics in dealing with the pending Bitcoin ETF application the regulators has to review. Here's a tweet from James. Update. Wow, well, the SEC just came out super early and delayed the ARK investment / 21 shares Bitcoin ETF filing. This thing wasn't due for a decision until November 11th. Also delaying the Global X ETF's application, which was due on October 7th. This may put the hammer down for any hopes of an ETF approval this year. If they want an ARK / 21 shares already, we may see delays on all the other filings today too. BlackRock, Bitwise, VanEck, Invesco, WisdomTree, Fidelity, and Valkyrie, all due in mid-October. Grilled Gensler, anyone? One popular fad on Twitter this week was sharing videos of SEC Chair Gary Gensler being interrogated by the House Financial Services Committee. And here's a tweet from the Financial Service GOP. Hashtag watch Chairman Patrick McHenry to SEC Chair Gensler. While your time in this role may be temporary, the repercussions of your actions may be permanent for the agency. And there's a video link there if you guys want to watch that. Click that little link there. Or follow the Financial Services GOP on Twitter or X. Here's Gensler fumbling when asked whether tokenized collectibles constitute securities. And here's a video again. And this one's posted by DGen News. Breaking, Gary Gensler confirms that the purchase of a Pokemon card does not constitute a security transaction, but stumbles when asked about the purchase of a tokenized Pokemon card. And here's a picture of a couple of blockchain fans in Washington who photobombed the sheriff of Cryptoville. And here is a tweet from Eleanor. Someone sitting behind Gary Gensler flashed the stand with crypto NFT on a phone. The shield is described as a symbol of unity for the crypto community seeking sensible crypto policy. Beautiful. I love that. There's actually two, and this gives me goosebumps. Stand with crypto. Wow, look at that. The Binance / Russian connection. On Wednesday, Binance tweeted that it was liquidating its Russian arms. Binance has entered into an agreement to sell the entirety of its Russia business to COMEX to ensure a smooth process for existing Russian users. The offboarding process will take up to 1 year. All assets of existing Russian users are safe. And Safu, I'm sure that's what he said. The exchange's CEO, Shengpeng CZ Zhao, must have been fielding many questions about the deal because he hit Twitter to set the record straight. Here's a tweet from CZ saying some answers about Binance/COMEX. There will be crypto transfers between Binance and COMEX as users migrate with their funds. There are also older transactions during the testing phase of the interrogations. This is expected. A few ex-Binance CIS team members may join their team. Finally, Adam Cochrane returned later this week with an impressive 25-tweet thread exploring subtle connections between Binance, Russia, and Prigozhin, the Russian rebel who led a one-day rebellion against Putin earlier this year. And here's a tweet from Adam. The past few weeks, I've been suggesting Binance has OFAC violations and yesterday called out that Binance was laundering Russian money. Today, they announced they are selling their Russian business to COMEX. The one problem is COMEX doesn't really exist. Ooh, interesting. Okay, so, this is going to be quite interesting, and I'm sure people are going to keep a close eye on this. All right, let's move on over to the next news. This one's written by Matt DeSalvo. Did I say who wrote the first one? Who wrote this one? Let's see. This one was written by Tim Hockey. All right. So the second article is written by Matt DeSalvo. Sam Bankman-Fried trial. All the names you need to know. The ex-CEO and co-founder of the collapsed digital asset exchange and mega brand FTX, Sam Bankman-Fried's trial starts next week in New York's Southern District. Bankman-Fried will face 7 criminal charges relating to his company last year blowing up in what James Bromley, counsel to FTX's new management, described as one of the most abrupt and difficult collapses in the history of corporate America. Although Bankman-Fried, also known as SBF, will be the star of the show, there is a whole host of other important characters who will play an important role in the trial. All right, Sam Bankman-Fried. Bankman-Fried, 31, studied at MIT and worked at Jane Street before launching FTX and Alameda Research. Dorky, loquacious, and mega rich, he became one of the world's youngest billionaires at 29, but claimed he subscribed to the philosophy of effective altruism and was only interested in making all that money so he could ultimately give it away to good causes. After FTX went bankrupt in November 2021, Bankman-Fried gave a number of interviews to mainstream media and apologized profusely about losing so much money. He was then arrested in the Bahamas, where FTX was based, and hit with criminal charges. He has pleaded not guilty. Barbara Fried and Joseph Bankman. SBF's mother, Barbara Fried, was a professor at one of America's most prestigious universities, Stanford Law School, before retiring last year. She claimed her departure has nothing to do with the collapse of her son's crypto empire. Before her teaching position, Fried worked as an associate with the New York City law firm of Paul Weiss, Rifkin, Wharton and Garrison, and served as a law clerk to Judge J. Edwards Lombard of the U.S. Court of Appeals of the Second Circuit, according to a Stanford bio. SBF's father, Joseph Bankman, was also a professor at Stanford who retired last year. Bankman is a tax expert who worked with the state of California to help make the U.S. tax code friendlier and lower income citizens, a system called Ready Return. Like his wife, he reportedly was well-known in progressive circles. Bankman is also a clinical psychologist who has testified before Congress and other legislative bodies. Both are involved not only because they are the parents of the alleged fraudster, but because a lawsuit filed earlier this month alleges they leveraged their influential roles within the FTX enterprise for personal gain and channeled millions of dollars to various entities and family and friends. Gabriel Bankman-Fried, SBF's brother, Gabriel, is involved in the trial because he ran a pandemic prevention group that received cash from FTX. Authorities are now looking at whether Gabriel misappropriated funds. Gabriel allegedly wanted to purchase the sovereign nation of Nauru in order to construct a bunker/shelter that would be used for some events. Where 50% to 99.99% of people died. John J. Ray III, the man behind the resurrecting of collapsed crypto firm FTX, serving as the crypto firm's new CEO, he has said that the company's collapse was caused by a very small group of grossly inexperienced and unsophisticated individuals. With a 40-year career, the experienced bankruptcy lawyer had apparently seen it all. Most notably, he helped recover hundreds of millions of dollars for creditors following the collapse of Enron, one of the biggest bankruptcies in U.S. history. But FTX might just be his hardest task to date. Last year, he said he had never seen such an utter failure of corporate control. Judge Lewis Kaplan. Judge Kaplan, 78, is the judge presiding over the case, and he's already made a number of big rulings in the case, including allowing Sam to wear a business attire and granting him to use an air-gapped laptop during the trial. Described as having a no-nonsense style for making quick decisions, he is also no stranger to the crypto world. He oversaw the first federal Bitcoin securities fraud prosecution. Kaplan has experienced in high-profile cases such as lawsuits against Prince Andrew and Donald Trump. Ryan Salameh. Ryan Salameh is the former co-CEO of FTX Digital Markets and was said to have handled political donations on behalf of the now-defunct crypto exchange's executives. He pleaded guilty to criminal campaign finance violations charges in a Manhattan court earlier this month. Sam Trabuco. Not involved in the trial, the former co-CEO of Alameda Research, Trabuco was a key figure in the FTX empire before its collapse. He left the firm in August of last year. He has maintained a low profile. Nishad Singh, the former head of engineering at FTX, Nishad Singh pleaded guilty to charges of wire fraud, commodities fraud, securities fraud, money laundering, and campaign finance violations in February. Singh, who had a 7.8% stake in the company and was in SBF's close circle of friends and colleagues, agreed to cooperate with prosecutors investigating the disgraced crypto mogul. Caroline Ellison. The ex-girlfriend of Sam Bankman-Fried, Caroline Ellison, will be a star witness in his criminal trial. Ellison was the former CEO of Alameda Research. In December, she admitted fraud. Ellison was hired by Bankman-Fried to run Alameda. She was one of the many close friends and colleagues that lived with the disgraced crypto mogul. Decrypt exclusively uncovered that Ellison had a fascination with race, science, and polyamory, which she frequently blogged about. Gary Wang. FTX co-founder Gary Wang also pleaded guilty and agreed to cooperate with authorities in the FTX investigation. He will be a witness in the case. Friends with Bankman-Fried since high school, Wang helped set up the crypto behemoth but maintained a much lower profile than SBF during the crypto company's golden years. Daniel Friedberg. Friedberg served as FTX US's chief compliance officer and general counsel to Alameda Research, but FTX, under its new management, hit him with a lawsuit in June, alleging that he served as a, quote, fixer for top management and silenced whistleblowers who threatened to go public about the collapsed exchange's impropriety. He faces a total of 11 civil charges, including breach of fiduciary duty and legal malpractice. He could be called as a witness in the case, although his name has not yet been confirmed. Andrea van der Merwe. Expected witness Andrea van der Merwe is an executive vice president at Compass Lexicon, where she specializes in complex litigation and regulatory investigations related to financial markets. She could be called by the Department of Justice to explain to the jury the intricacies of financial markets. Peter Easton. Professor Peter Easton of the University of Notre Dame will be acting as an expert witness for the prosecution and will explain FTX and Alameda's financials in detail, including how they were allegedly commingled. Andrew Dewu. Potential defense witness Andrew Dewu is a professor of finance and technology at the University of Michigan and could be called to provide an overview to the jury on crypto exchanges work as well as a, quote, a timeline of the crypto markets boom and bust, according to court documents. Thomas Bishop. Thomas Bishop could also be called as a defense witness to testify opinions related to the calculations of financial figures and metrics for FTX Trading Ltd., Alameda Research LLC, and other entities based on publicly available information on records produced in the above captioned manner, according to court documents. Shengpeng CZ Zhao / Binance. Binance boss Zhao, or CZ, was not expected to be involved, but his crypto behemoth brand was named on the first day of the trial as an entity that could be called to testify. FTX quickly collapsed after CZ announced he would be selling off Binance's holdings of the exchange token FTT. A liquidity crisis followed, and FTX then filed for bankruptcy. Zhao and Bankman-Fried then clashed. The two had history as Binance, the world's biggest crypto exchange, was an early investor FTX, but then their relationship abruptly ended. Anthony Scaramucci. SkyBridge Capital boss and former Donald Trump spokesman Anthony Scaramucci was named as a potential trial witness. Scaramucci was a close friend of Bankman-Fried's before FTX went bust. FTX Ventures, the investment arm of the FTX brand, purchased a 30% stake in SkyBridge last year, injecting $40 million of capital into the firm of the process. Editorial note, this article will be updated as development warrants, last updated Wednesday, October 4th, 2023 at 1:37 p.m. Eastern Time. All right, let's move on over to the next news, third article of the day. And let's drink a little bit of water. Water. All right, this one's written by Andrew Thorvalis. Three Eros Capital co-founder Suzu arrested in Singapore. Suzu, the co-founder of defunct crypto hedge fund Three Eros Capital, 3AC, has been arrested by authorities in Singapore after attempting to leave the country. Tenio, the joint liquidators of his fallen company, has confirmed the news in a statement shared with Decrypt on Friday. Suzu was apprehended at Changi Airport whilst attempting to travel out of Singapore following a committal order by the Singapore court against him, read the company's statement. Mr. Zhu will be held in prison to serve his sentence for 4 months, the firm added. Su's fellow co-founder, Kyle Davies, is also due for 4 months behind bars, though his whereabouts remain unknown. Tenio said it filed and obtained its committal order against Su on Monday, and the founder refused to follow a court order compelling him to account for his activities as 3AC's founder and investment manager. 3AC fell apart in June 2022 due to overexposure to the algorithmic stablecoin protocol, Terra, which entered an inflationary death spiral in the previous month. Both Suzu and Davies have admitted they were close to Terra co-founder Do Kwon, who was arrested in Montenegro earlier this year. Both Su and Davies went underground shortly after 3AC's collapse last year, citing death threats. In the meantime, they launched a new exchange, OPNX, for traders to more easily exchange bankruptcy claims for other fallen crypto companies that year, such as FTX. Whilst Su is in prison, Tenio said it plans to press him for more information related to 3AC to assist with asset recovery and ensure he complies with his court order both during and after his imprisonment. Former FTX boss Sam Bankman-Fried volunteered to assist with the bankruptcy process for his fallen exchange during his time on bail. However, he has since been sent to prison for using his limited communication to publicly leak the diary of Alameda CEO Caroline Ellison, which was deemed a form of witness tampering. Earlier this month, the Monetary Authority of Singapore barred both Zhu and Davies from engaging in regulated investment activity for 9 years each. All right, last news of the day. This one's written by Matt DeSalvo. Terra's Do Kwon admits to faking trading volume in leaked chat court documents. This one's written by Matt DeSalvo. Disgraced crypto mogul Do Kwon admitted to faking trading volume court documents from the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission show. A September 22nd SEC filing shows a text message exchange between Do Kwon and Daniel Chen, the founder of payments app Chai, where Do Kwon tells him, "I can just create fake transactions that look real, which will generate fees." Chen asks Do Kwon, "What if people find out it's fake?" To which Do Kwon responds, "I won't tell if you won't." Chai partnered with Do Kwon's Terra to speed up payments, but last year Terra collapsed and now the SEC is accusing Do Kwon of fraud. In the SEC's lawsuit against Terra, the agency alleges that the partnership wasn't anything like what had been marketed to users and that Terra never replaced Chai's payment system. It was a big allegation to make considering that Chai founder Daniel Chen also co-founded Terraform with Do Kwon in 2018. In a statement on Twitter, Terraform Labs CEO Chris Amani dismissed the leaked text message as not damning. Said Amani, "This was a private conversation, albeit an inelegant one, about the need to bootstrap validators to ensure the security of the chain. In many Cosmos chains today, that is done through inflationary rewards. Terra relied only on fees, so they needed some other way to do it." In 2019, Terra announced its partnership with Chai, writing in a blog post it would rebuild the payment stack on the blockchain to simplify the legacy payment system and provide transaction fees at a discounted rate to merchants. The company estimated the deal would result in processing millions, if not billions, in transaction volumes. Chai Payment did not use the Terraform blockchain to process and settle payments, the SEC wrote in its complaint. Rather, defendants deceptively replicated Chai payments onto the Terraform blockchain in order to make it appear that they were occurring on the Terraform blockchain, when in fact Chai payments were made through traditional means. Now the SEC new filing shed new lights on the relationship between Do Kwon's Terraform and Chai. For instance, in an extensive private chat between Kwon and Daniel Chen during the early stages of Chai and Terraform's formation and partnership, Kwon details how he intended to use Chai to create fake transactions on the Terra blockchain, which would appear real and generate fees, the SEC writes in the court filings. Do Kwon's Terra was a massive crypto ecosystem with lots of apps largely focused on algorithmic stablecoins. It was hugely popular DeFi blockchain and the second biggest after Ethereum. Its native cryptocurrency Luna was in its prime as one of the top biggest digital assets by market cap. But in May 2022, Terra collapsed, leading to a brutal bear market and many crypto projects with exposure to the project to declare bankruptcy. American and South Korean authorities have since hit Do Kwon with a litany of charges. Authorities arrested him in Montenegro earlier this year on charges of document forgery. After a court found him guilty, he's been indefinitely detained in jail and argued against his extradition to the United States. Editorial note, this article was updated after publication to include comments from Terraform Labs CEO Chris Amani. All right. So this particular episode honestly was pretty depressing. This is kind of like PTSD, you know, all the issues that happened last year are all coming back up this year, like right now, this episode. Yeah, not too happy about it, but unfortunately, these are the ups and downs of crypto, and some people just abuse it, and unfortunately, that's what happened here, and a lot of people were affected by it. I wasn't affected directly by these guys, but yeah, Mashensky got me, you know. So I did get hit by it eventually. Yeah. So, but it looks like my issue, my claims are starting to come to fruition. They're starting to finally be some a light at the end of the tunnel. And you know, I hope that everyone else gets an opportunity to like I'm about to get, you know. Obviously I'm not going to get everything back, that's to be expected, but something's better than nothing, you know, at this point, especially waiting this long. I want my funds back, and I definitely will not keep them on an exchange. I'll keep them on my own wallet. That's one of the biggest lessons I learned, you know. Keep your own coins, you know, not your keys, not your coins. And you know, I said that for the longest time, and I had a good percentage on Celsius, and when it went belly up, well, so did all my coins. So yeah, anyways, so like I said, there's two honorable mentions, which is stablecoin legislation looms despite threat of government shutdown, and in emerging economies like Chile, WorldCoin has seen strong success. Okay, CryptoNuts, that is the end of this episode. So with that said, stack sets and HODL. Adiós.